Okay, so we'll start again. So I gave pshat in what I thought was pshat in the 10 people who went and got the fig for the chole, sheyesh sakana, even though he got better with the first one. So again, the Rambam writes that they didn't violate Shabbos, based on the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, and sheyesh tov sachar tov meis Hashem. So Rav Moshe Mordechai Farb, in this article, Gidrei Safek Pikuach Nefesh, he's trying to figure out what this whole notion is. His article is about a different issue, but he uses this as a proof, and he tries to use this as a proof to prove his article point. He says, you know, there's a Magid Mishnah that makes it into Shulchan Aruch that talks about what we call Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola. Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola is something that the Beis Yosef says the Magid Mishnah disagrees with Rashi about. That the Magid Mishnah creates this notion of Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola, that for a Chola on Shabbos, there's that which you need to keep him alive, and then there's Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola, the other needs, and you're allowed to do those also. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and is like, this is very strange, and he tries to argue, the Mishnah Berurah tries to argue that all the Rishonim disagree with this Magid Mishnah about the Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola. It seems like he doesn't say the word Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola. He says that a Chola on Shabbos, Osim L'Kol Shere Gilin Lasos L'Bechol, everything you would normally do on the Tuesday, which includes not only that which is absolutely necessary to save his life, but also the additional things. I thought that meant chicken soup.
Like the Gemara
would turn
the light on.
So that's what, yeah, the question is, 1 second. So I always thought it was chicken soup. Meaning, you don't need chicken soup to get better, but that's how we treat a person on Tuesday and make him chicken soup, so then on Shabbos you can make him chicken soup also. You need to, no, I mean, so that's what I thought it would be. And that would be the machlokas between the Magid Mishnah and the other Rishon. And the Be'er Halacha says, this is a big, tremendous machlokas. There's a big machlokas, and he's really uncomfortable with it. Pshat and Shulchan Aruch. He says, unless it's really, really, you can come up with some way that it might be tolui in sakana something, you can do it with alidei nachri. You shouldn't do it alidei, you shouldn't do a melacha de oraisa for this purpose. It's in Shin Chav Ches, yeah. It's towards the beginning, I think, Dalet or Hay. It's towards the beginning. So, it's very strange. So what is the Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola? So everybody likes to say, all the classic Yeshiva Shereid is what's Pshat? It's a machlokas. How do you view Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos? Do you view Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos as Hutra Dechuya? Right? If it's Hutra, so you're more expansive, and therefore you can do Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola. And if it's Dechuya, so then you have to be more specific. You cannot. The problem is that Rabbi Farbstein points out and goes, what are you kidding me? I don't understand. Even if you hold Hutra, you could save his life. You can't eat a cheeseburger. Like, you can't just, like, do whatever you want for him.
Hutra means not Shabbos.
No, Hutra doesn't mean it's not Shabbos. No, it doesn't. Hutra is still Pekuach Nefesh. It still means it's Pekuach Nefesh. No, it is Shabbos. No, but he can't. He's not allowed to watch television. You could only do. So how do you know you're allowed to do stuff for him on Shabbos? Because of V'chai Bahem. V'chai Bahem means save his life. You can't just do any random thing.
Isn't that the chakira between Hutra and Tzuya?
So he points out that can't be. So that can't be. No, because it is Shabbos. It is Shabbos because he's not allowed to do anything. He's only allowed to do that which is necessary to save his life.
Down on my convertible.
Unless you're the chola, I'm not sure why that's going to help. Is it going to help the chola? There's a fascinating, or Zilberstein has a fascinating thing, can a servant smoke on Shabbos? Because it's going to calm his nerves.
Wow. Yeah, probably not.
He probably shouldn't be smoking during the weather and then during the week either. Even if they shouldn't be smoking, he points that out. Okay, Baruch Hashem. But meaning, how far do you go with this? Because you can't, at some point, like, if it's not helpful at all, it's not helpful at all. What is it? It has to be Letzorech. And if it has to be Letzorech, so what's the Chiddush of the Magid Mishnah? Like, then everyone should agree, no? Meaning, what's going on here? And so he puts this together with the Brisker Rav. Because the Brisker Rav quotes from Chaim about eating on Yom Kippur. He says from Reb Chaim that Reb Chaim did not hold of shiurim on Yom Kippur, meaning that once someone's a chola on Yom Kippur, you don't have to eat shiurim, you can eat normally. So Shulchan Aruch says if you're a chola on Yom Kippur, if you have to eat normally, but if you can eat shiurim, you should eat shiurim. He says, no, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch means. Once you're a chola sheyesh bo sakana on Yom Kippur, you eat normally. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about someone who's not yet a chola sheyesh bo sakana. You're preventing a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and therefore you have to eat shiur. This is, they say, he says in the Rebbe Chaim that you don't eat shiur. This is the Brisker Rav giving pshat in Rebbe Chaim. He says, so what's pshat? Why? Because once you're a chola sheyesh bo sakana, So Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola would tell you eat normally, because normal Chola would eat normally. A normal Chola doesn't eat Shirim. So if he held Sha'ar Tzrachav Shel Chola, that you could eat normally, so therefore on Yom Kippur, but therefore on Yom Kippur you could eat normally also. So he says, enough gemina for this, that we follow this Magid Mishnah, but the point is, but it's only a Chola Sheish Pesach. He can't, like, go roast and have a barbecue. Like, there's some limit to, like, what he can eat at some point. Like, you can't just be... There have to be some gedarim here to what's going on. So that's what he's trying... That's what Rabbi Farbstein's article is trying to figure out exactly what this is. Now, I didn't even realize that that's what he's... That his last section makes the ta'ara. The reason I saw this was because I wanted to look at... There's a piece from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and it came up a lot in the pandemic, that when it comes to the tzibur, we have a different threshold of pikuach nefesh. So in his example is, you know, if there's a, you know, if we're all willing to drive and there's like a 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000 risk of injury through driving, we'd be like, okay, what are you kidding me? Of course I'm going to drive. But if you're running a city, if you're the right governor of a state where there are lots and lots, so you're expecting fatalities every day. And if you're going to ignore that, so that's not responsible. But as an individual, you take a different level of risk than you do for a tzibur. And his argument is for chola sheyesh bo sakana, you're going to take a different level of risk than you are for a chola she'ein bo sakana. Meaning his argument is going to be that once you're a chola she'yesh bo sakana, so then let's say for normally you need a 3% risk to violate Shabbos. I'm just picking a number out of a hat, whatever it is, or let's say 5%. Once you're a chola she'yesh bo sakana, the threshold is lower. Just like once you're a tzibur, the threshold is lower. Once you're a chola she'yesh bo sakana, the threshold is much lower. That's what he wants to argue.
Chola she'yesh bo sakana inherently has more risk.
So he has two ways of looking at it.
Right.
Is it that we're really, 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 really concerned that everything... So he has two ways of looking at it and tries to find enough gamina.
Any decision you make has so much
the chicken soup
implication.
No, so the question is, what about the chicken soup? If he doesn't get the chicken soup, he's going to, like, deteriorate.
I mean, that might not be a great example.
No, it's a good example, because you're going to tell me no. You should tell me no.
I'm not sure. My mom says
no. I understand that, right? So that's good for the problem, right? Meaning, at some point, you're not... So the question is, what about these, like, folk medications? What about ivermectin for COVID, right? So once he's a cholesterol H plus, like, we're going to allow it because he thinks so? No, that's absurd.
Stakes are higher.
But that's absurd. It's absurd. The whole thing's absurd. It's a joke. You're not going to let him, meaning, I don't know what the Chilul Shabbos would be involved. Let's say there's a Chilul Shabbos involved. Of course you're not going to let him take it if there's a Chilul Shabbos involved, because it's a joke. It's like, you know, drinking urine. Like, that's what people are doing to pre-COVID. If there was a Chilul Shabbos, of course you wouldn't let him do it. Because that's not real. Meaning, there has to be something that's real. But the question is chicken soup real or not? I don't know. So if they give him a nuchas nefesh, mental health is health, and we're going to take that for real. But it's, so leaving that part aside, talking about therapeutic health. Anyway, the kitzer, the reason that he gets into this, he goes, and you see, he wants to make an argument that once you're a cholos yesh bo sakana, so what's the geder? What people think is pikuach nefesh. He writes that once you have... He goes, once you're cholos yesh bo sakana, it's what people assume is the geder of pikuach nefesh. He says, the heter, I was reading to you, the heter shel v'chai bahem, right? Eino im be'ofen objektivi ha'pula aska batalat nefesh. It's not about the objective truth or not, whether it helps pikuach nefesh or not. Ela im matarat osa pula haita l'shem hatzala. Did you intend to do pikuach nefesh? So that's what I thought he was going to say, and I said, yeah, it's the same thing. Let's say you're an emergency room doctor or a surgeon, whatever it is, and you're trying to save someone's life on Shabbos, and you weren't successful. No one will tell you you violated Shabbos. No one will tell you violated Shabbos. You were always sick in the midst of the Baal Nefesh. I didn't save his life. There's no objective threshold. The objective threshold is not right, reached. So it didn't work. Nonetheless, it was, I'm going to say, of course that was the Pikuach Nefesh. And more so is the case with the 10 figs, right? You need 10 figs. 10 people, well, he needs one fig. 10 people go out and pick figs. He got better with the first one. The 9 people didn't violate Shabbos. Why not? Because he says they were all thinking that they were, he says, a kol ma'aseh shena asala shem hatsala, anything that was done for that purpose, o kol ma'asav shebnei adam machshivim atal pikuach nefesh, where the people think is pikuach nefesh, meaning will also qualify as pikuach nefesh. So let's say someone is having some chest pain and comes to the hospital, and then, like, we laugh it away. You're fine. It's nothing. But it's just heartburn. He wasn't Machal Shabbos. He thought it was Pikuach Nefesh. Yes, if he had a cardiologist, he had a gastroenterologist at home, they would have helped him. He didn't. He didn't violate Shabbos. It was a crazy story. It was a story that Dr. Abraham told me once, that his neighbor Van Hauer, they had like 15, 16 kids. And so they had a baby that Shabbos, and the neighbor on the other side had the first baby that Shabbos. And they're both up crying all night Friday night. And the mother of the 16th kid went to sleep and had one of the other kids take care of the baby. Because like, whatever. And the other mother's freaking out. Doesn't know what to do. So she runs to the hospital to get the baby checked out. And the other mother's sleeping quietly. So was she Michal Shabbos? No, because she was concerned. Meaning, at some level... but something, okay, but objectively, had she had more knowledge, had she had more experience, she would have known there was no Pikul Chavash. Right? Meaning the two women, meaning either she was negligent, she didn't go, or she wasn't... The point is that, you know, the Torah wasn't written for emergency room doctors. The Torah was written for everybody. So the halacha is that... It doesn't weigh into the equation. So, you have to have some framework. You have to have some... Would you go on a Tuesday if you wouldn't go? Sometimes you get child, well, it's Shabbos, so I have time, so I may as well go. So that's a bad answer. That's a bad answer. If it's only going across the Shabbos, so that's terrible. But on a Tuesday, you would have went, so then you should go on Shabbos too. Right? You would probably pick up the phone and call someone. So pick up the phone and call someone. Much better to call someone than to take than to drive. But you don't know that. You don't know, so you have to pick up the phone. Yeah, that's something with Nevesh. Yeah, that's something with Nevesh. So now once you pick up the phone and you realize it's not, so then they start talking about what can you say.
Just hang up.
Can you say good Shabbos?
Can you hang up?
No, can you say good Shabbos? You have to hang up. If you don't hang up, they can't come. The next call can't come in. So, if you don't hang up, the next call can't come in. They'll call waiting.
You also have to be polite because if you don't...
Correct, but can you say good Shabbos? So they talk about...
Big
day shower. So that's the difference here. I think so also, but for different love me time, but yeah.
I'm not trying to hide anything.
Right.
But can you say good Shabbos? No, it's the person on the phone.
Oh.
On the phone. Let's say the from person.
No, say what you would say.
So, but can you say good Shabbos? Or is that the polite thing to do? So there's a reverse wise thought. You don't have to. You don't have to deal with every. We don't have to hedge in every word, but you shouldn't like how you're doing. You shouldn't overdo.
Saying good Shabbos is a malacha in and of itself.
No, it's additional talking on the phone.
Right.
Who told you to talk on the phone? You don't have to talk on the phone. What malacha are you doing? So the question is, what malacha are you doing with talking on the phone?
Yeah.
So Rav Asher Weisler Shitasei. No. He thinks that all the electric devices are the right.
I think it's even less than electric, though.
I understand that, but he's going to say all of that stuff. I know, but according to everybody else, he'll be okay. So applying... He told you not to get it, if you recall.
No, he did not.
He said, I it was recorded.
He specifically told me in the car...
Oh, in the car he told you.
You have to drive.
But in public he said not to. But in public he said not to.
In public he said take a bike.
Yeah.
Take a bike. Walk, take a bike.
Definitely not as much as the right thing.
Correct. No, but he holds it is. Meaning he holds all electricity. So I quote him what he said. I remember his language. He says, you have to be closer to the other post. Maybe I'm not the only post thing around. The other post. Anyway, so that's what he says. He takes this approach that like, what people think is Pikuach Nefesh is Pikuach Nefesh. So this was written, again, in 1994. In 2016, Rabbi Mordechai Alter, which is not the same Rabbi Mordechai Alter, I don't think so. Anyway, he wrote to Asya Ha'aros on this article from 1994, which is kind of cool, I guess, because that's like 20 years. Whatever. So he takes him to task on this, and he's like, no. That's not true. We don't just ask people what they think and that becomes Pikuach Nefesh. That's absurd. We're not going to like, you know, allow every single person to decide what Pikuach Nefesh is or not. So he says like this, and it's fascinating, and I couldn't find this Nodeb Yehuda, just because I repurposed this very late. But he says it's based on Nodeb Yehuda. Nodeb Yehuda, which I've heard in the name of Nodeb Yehuda before, says, well, let's say someone's high of a carbon. And why you have a carbon? Because Adim came and said that you ate chaylev. You ate chaylev, so you have b'shogeg. Adim came and said it was chaylev, so you have to bring a korban chatas. Okay, in a purpose of cards. You have to bring a korban chatas. Okay, so you bring a korban chatas. And then you find out later that the Adim were wrong. So, or, alternatively, you did something. You did something based on Adim and it turned out wrong. It turned out wrong. You did something. Let's think about it. Forget the korban. You brought it. Different case. You did something based on Adim and it turns out to be wrong. You have to bring a korban or not. You did something. Adim said fact was X, and therefore therefore you ate it, let's say, and it turns out that it was chaylev. They told you it wasn't chaylev. Turns out they were wrong. They lied, or whatever. So, but you were shogeg. You were shogeg. Shogeg is hard. So he says no. He says that you have to bring a korban. But what if you were sumech on rov? What if it wasn't Edom, it was a rove? You were sumech on rove, and you did something, you would not have to bring a korban. So yes, but the Nod of Yehuda takes it a little, the Nod of Yehuda is, well, it's a little differently. If you did it based on rove, you don't, and if you do it based on, I thought Edom is better than, I thought Edom was a achra, or a beer. I mean, Edom I thought was a beer, like, not a korban, but a hanhaga or beer, right? It's a hanhaga or beer. But it sounds like Edom are the most reliable thing ever. So he says no. He says it, he just says it very beautifully. There's a din, you follow the Edom. But when you rely on the Edom, the point is, you assume that they're telling the truth. The image baresh is shikru, and if it finds out that they lied, so imke no de lemafresh, einam bechal Edom. If they lied, so then they're not even Edom. And therefore, you relied on them inappropriately, and because you assumed they were telling the truth. The din of Edus is to assume they're telling the truth if two Edom come, and then you turned out it was true. It wasn't true. So it's shogeg. You didn't know, but you relied on them. You made a mistake. You relied on incorrect information. That's what shogeg is. You're relying on incorrect information.
What if they didn't lie, they just made a mistake?
So then, I don't know. I didn't see the Nod of Yehuda inside, so I don't know. I was trying to find it. He doesn't give a Maror Makom. They say this in the name of him, and I've heard it before. I couldn't find the Maror Makom, but I don't know.
The Rove was still a Rove.
Hmm?
It was still a Rove.
But if the Rove, no. The Rove, the Nod of Yehuda says, is, no, it's different. The Rove recognizes that there's a mute. Meaning when the Torah says rely on Edom, it's not because it's most likely that they're telling the truth. It's because they have a Din Emes. But the Rove, when we rely on the Rove, it's, we recognize that it could be a mute. We recognize that the mute exists, and we told you anyway rely on the rove. Anyway rely on the rove, acknowledging that it could be the mute. And therefore, if you followed that, right, you did the right thing. Then he says that would be only.
I would have made the opposite argument. I mean, same conclusion with the opposite argument.
Yeah.
Because the Torah acknowledges that there's a mute,
it
still says...
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
So it's
still says
like,
follow the rove.
It's like fact. It's like changing reality. If the reality changes to follow the rove, no matter what the truth or MS is, it follows the rove. That's it.
So he doesn't want to change the reality.
Then when you talk about the rove, by after like the whole Beit Din goes after the
rove.
Right.
The
so
road,
I
not just
it doesn't matter that the mute is gone.
No. So he's saying no. He's telling you that the mute exists and that Torah is still telling follow the rove. Meaning, we want you to follow the rope, even acknowledging that the mute might be the truth.
Meaning we're changing the reality.
No. I think the Nod of Yehuda is saying the opposite. We're not changing the reality. We're acknowledging that the mute exists, and we're still telling you follow the rope.
Why?
Because that's the halacha. The halacha is Acharei Rabban Hathos. Still follow the rope. Therefore...
What if you find out the rope is wrong?
The rope isn't wrong.
It can't be wrong.
No. If the rope, meaning the rope is wrong... Meaning, whatever the case is, your assumption of that the rove was wrong, or that your case was from the mute. If your theory of rove was wrong, like rove
ilas
acharal, your food you ate from the mute doesn't make the principle of rove wrong. No, it happens to be that the rove steaks here were kosher. The rove steaks
you ate tray. Find out later you ate tray.
Correct, but the rove steaks were kosher. Now, if the rove steaks weren't kosher, that's a different story. But if the rove steaks were kosher, you relied on the rove.
And it doesn't matter that you ate the meat.
It doesn't, right, it would be onus, right? But because the rove acknowledges that the mute exists and still tells you follow the rove. But like in Kevin Shah, rove mi'ikar dino mechashiv et ashar ta mute, it acknowledges the mute exists. U'mikol mokom mutar li samech al rove, l'achem nechshav onus velo shogeg. You're an onus and not a shogeg. You don't have to bring a korban. That's not the reason he's shot. So he says, I thought it was so clever. When it comes to v'koch nefesh, meaning by pikuach nefesh, we acknowledge that it's not a rove. We acknowledge that it's only a mute. There's only a 10% chance that the person's at risk. We acknowledge that it's a mute. And we're saying, and still do it. Still do it. Not because it's a rove, we're telling you can rely on the rove and assume that you're from the rove. No, we're telling you, you don't have to assume you're from the rove. You don't have to assume you're from the rove. You can assume you're from the mute, and you should still mechal Shabbos. So he says... That's even better. Ain't no nechshav afilu onus. Alright, I didn't say ain't holkav in the pasuk zacharov. Ve'afsh kasher yesh chashel mute lefakon. The mechalon shabbat ever suffik the pasuk. Klomer avol b'shedu me'rosh. It's more likely than not. It's not a koch nefesh, right? Nonetheless, kimchal shabbos. It's not even an onus. Because at the origin, when you started off, the Torah is already telling you that you don't follow. And he says, this is even better. He wants to make an argument that this is even better because here the Torah is saying, "Ein lachem b'kol nefesh achar harov," and therefore he wants to explain now when nishnu mitzchil zinei hatzala hati mitzchil b'makom tzad katan shal b'kol nefesh. Lachin gamim b'sofa shal davar hidbarish lo hayta kan sakana. Even if it turns out there was a suffix in what you did, therefore, that's going to allow you, it's not going to be an onus, it's not going to be anything. I tried to make the argument with that no, you did the action fully knowing that it was pikuach nefesh. Meaning, he's making the argument that even if it turns out not, you can rely on the... I was making the argument, no, so long as you're doing it, mishum pikuach nefesh, right? Therefore, it's not an iser. It's mitzvah b'kol nefesh, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is adding: v'yesh lahem sachar tov me'eich Hashem. Because he's stuck. He wants to say, he's like, no. He wants to say, no, it should be onus. The nine people who brought the figs, right, should be, they're not chayiv, but they're putting some onus. What do you want them to do? They did the right thing. They went to get the figs. Okay. And he says, they might even need kapara. Tov b'dvar mitzvah. Tov b'dvar mitzvah lo asa mitzvah. He suggests for a minute. That will be because of Shulchan Aruch. Yesh lahem schar tov me'eich Hashem. That doesn't necessarily mean that they don't need kapara. I don't know. I think that's absurd. The Shulchan Aruch never tells you yesh lahem schar tov me'eich Hashem. Ever. He never tells you yesh lahem schar tov me'eich Hashem. If he's telling you yesh lahem schar tov me'eich Hashem, it sounds like he didn't do any, not only did he not do anything wrong, but he did a good thing. But now if you say it like this, meaning, that was a tavmina. But now if you take his conclusion, and he's saying this is better than the miut, so not only did Yeshem Sakharov, you did the right thing, so then you're good to go. The difference would be Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's case, meaning you have three Hatzalah guys going to help the lady give birth. She already gave birth. One already got there. Should he call his two friends to tell them to stop driving? They're not driving a Tesla. They're driving a regular car. So he's going to violate calling on the phone to tell the other two guys to stop driving a car. Should he do that or not? So meaning, should he violate an Isser, Durabanan, Minig, whatever, to have them stop violating an Isser Daraisa?
That's a whole other topic.
So no, Shlomo Zalman Orbach said no. Yes, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said absolutely not, because they're not violating anything at all. Because they're holy, they think they're doing a mitzvah. But according to him, not.
Why?
Because according to him, the reason that the nine were okay is because there was a suffix. There's no suffix anymore.
In their mind, there is.
No,
the suffix is over.
They don't know the suffix is over.
Correct, but he doesn't seem to care. That's the only point for someone.
That's exactly the point. The point is that even because
the question is, I don't know the whole
percentage that there could be still be a problem.
Let's say she's not there anymore. They took her to the hospital. They're going to the house. They're going to the house. They already took it to the hospital.
Their reality.
I understand that. So according to the way I said that, according to the way that Rav Farbstein said that, it's about their reality and a chinami. But according to everybody else, are saying that it's not about their reality. So in a chinami, you now have to down in the sugya. Should you violate one issur derabanan to prevent them from violating an issur deraisa? Okay.